Today we are presented with Christ healing the man unable to speak or hear with the word Ephatha. And there is a wonderful parallel to this in another gospel, the gospel according to the movie Ben-Hur. In that movie, the main character, Judah Ben-Hur, is sent off to be a slave wrongly. But eventually he's freed and returns to his home. And when he does, he finds Judah, the faithful servant of his father who has remained in the boarded up home. He too was imprisoned and released. And in the process of his imprisonment, he was beaten and was no longer able to walk. And he was being carried by a large man who couldn't speak, named Malchus, who also had been tortured and had his tongue cut out. And Judah, the servant, tells Ben-Hur, "I am his voice, and Malchus is my legs." And in a real way, God has made himself similarly vulnerable, at times almost helpless, in order to have us share in his mission. I never realize this more than when I'm making a house call to somebody who's homebound, or going to the hospital or the nursing home with the Eucharist or with my holy oils. Because here I'm going to someone who cannot come to Christ and his church. So Christ must go to them. But Christ has caused it to be such that he trusts me to be his hands, his feet, his voice of comfort. He knows that I will not do it perfectly. However, in allowing me to be part of his mission, he not only brings salvation to others, but he brings his saving grace to me as well. And this is not only limited to ministerial priests. When a Eucharistic minister goes with the Eucharist, he or she is being Christ's feet, Christ's healing presence. When we are kind to a co-worker at the office or a family member at home, we are being Christ to that person. When we share our relationship with Jesus with others, we are spreading his message of love. And how is it that we are not just ourselves, but Christ? The answer is in the gospel. The healing is one that Christ wants to draw our attention to in a special way. How do we know that? Jesus did not just heal him the way he did so many others. He didn't just lay his hand on the person, let his shadow cross, or let his tassel be touched. No, rather, he took the man off to the side, making a point of separating him from the others. He touched the man's ears and touched his tongue, and he cried out, "Ephatha," a word that has remained untranslated, so important is it. And it means, "be opened." This was a theatrical, almost dramatic healing, and the church noticed. Because in the rite of baptism, after the initiate has been baptized and anointed with the holy oils as a priest, prophet, and king, just as Christ was, the priest touches the ears and the mouth, and in a model of Christ, says Ephatha. It is called appropriately the Ephatha, and in doing so, the priest prays that the ears be opened and the mouth be opened, that the person being baptized might hear the gospel and proclaim it boldly. Ironically enough, when an infant is being baptized, we're actually all praying that the mouth is not open, nor even the eyes. But in a very real way, that child will go on with that blessing of Ephatha to become that priest, prophet, and king. And when each of us were baptized, that was part of our baptism. That was the beginning of our mission. And the mission is nothing less than to be the ears that hear what Christ is asking us to do. And we are also to be his voice, a voice that will bring comfort to the suffering, admonishment to the sinners, and a voice that will call for justice. But of course, we don't simply know how to be the voice of someone we do not know. We must take the time to get to know Christ, to understand his voice before we can speak with his voice. And how do we come to know him? By taking time away from the noise of the world, especially from the many electronic noise sources that are around us all the time. We have to take time to read God's word, that we might know how to speak those words. We must speak to him in prayer, preparing to spread his message to others. To be Christ's voice to others, does it seem daunting to be the very voice of God? Are you afraid? That's all right, because the Israelites around Isaiah felt the same way. And what did God tell them? Be strong. Fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication and divine recompense. In today's first reading, we see those words spoken to a people that was afraid to be the voice of God, and yet were called to do just that. So we must not be afraid to speak for God. In a special way, I'd like to encourage you to be the voice for those children of God who are most helpless, for the stranger and the prisoner, for the aged and the sick, and for those most vulnerable and voiceless in the unborn, those who have not even had the opportunity to be baptized and told Ephatha. And this issue of abortion has been in the news recently, and reporters like John Muir are reporting for the first time any priest can forgive those who have procured or participated in an abortion, because the Pope has recently come out with a document saying something along the lines of this. But in fact, any priest has always been able to forgive an abortion. Occasionally, however, the seriousness of the sin has led to an excommunication, the lifting of which was reserved to the bishop. So what the Pope has wisely in this year of mercy done is made that ability to be not just with the bishop, but with any priest. Now, in the past, in most of these dioceses, including our own, that power was delegated from the bishop to the priest. So if you were in any way involved in an abortion and you doubt that you were forgiven, know that in every diocese practically in the United States, and indeed around the world, this was already the case, and God's mercy continues to endure. So Francis simply made the delegation universal, and we are forgiven. And here in this issue, we see a perfect voice, a perfect example of the different kinds of voice that Christ employed in his ministry. Voices that we must choose wisely when we are acting in his name. To the mothers who are forced by circumstances or by other people often to turn to this, we must use the tone of mercy and forgiveness that Pope Francis has so wonderfully exemplified in his ministry. And there's a different tone to those, for instance, in our government, who deny these basic protections to the unborn and continue to use our money to fund their killers. We must, like Christ, cry out to the injustice that is served towards these, at best, terribly misguided Christians. It is times like these that we must let our voice be opened and proclaim the truth that Christ has ordained us to proclaim. And so today Christ presents you with a question: will you be my voice? To comfort the lonely, to admonish the sinner, to protect the vulnerable, especially to do what we are asked to do in the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. If so, then we will not simply be Christians in name only, but we will be true apostles, those sent to be Christ to others to the ends of the earth and right in our very own homes. We will go forth following that command of Christ himself. Ephatha, be opened.